Okay, for the radio audience, my camera's not working. The cameras are not working in Zoom today. Okay, anyhow, okay, today we're in Tzadiches Sif Dalet. We're going to talk about Efshel Hasiroi, and that is like this. Good morning, David. The Rama says, half the Rabbi gave you so far, and says is, if you have Isser mixed with Heter, and it's possible to get it out, so you have to take it out. So like if a piece of meat falls into milk, and it's bottle b'shishim, there's very little meat, it's bottle b'shishim, so the milk is mutter, but you got to scoop the piece of meat out. You can't leave it in. You can't leave it inside there. Okay? So,
see,
what do you say?
The meat is also etzem.
Okay, yeah, no, not talking about that part of it. Right, the meat is also, right, the meat is, but it's bottle b'shishim. But it's bottle b'shishim.
But you can't eat the meat.
But it's bottle, so you can eat it. Of course you can eat it, because it's bottle. So the reason why you can't eat it is because you take it out. It's so to speak not bottle. Okay, so that sounds pretty obvious. So you said, of course you have to take it out. You have to take it out. Okay, so we'll see. It's more complicated than it may seem. Yes, you have to take it out. Yes, of course you have to take it out. But it's more complicated than that. Okay, and the first thing is, this is the Rama's first case, okay? Like a simple case. But then the Rama says another case. There's going to be a lot of words here. I don't know if you want to read the whole thing, okay? And he says like this. He says, what happens if chalef, most on it, that word says chalef, not chalef. What happens if chalef fell into a pot? Chalef is animal fat. So chalef is treif, means treif animal fat, and fell in. And once it's in a pot of hot food, it's going to dissolve into a liquid and it's going to be mixed in. It's not possible to get it out. But there's a trick how you can get it out, which is you let the water, you let the thing cool down. When it cools down at room temperature, animal fat is a solid. And also it's lighter than water, so it floats to the top. So first it'll solidify. So sort of hachil lahakfi, so it'll solidify, because it'll be at room temperature, it'll be a solid. And lots of flamyl, and then it'll float to the top. And then you'll scoop it off the top of it. Okay, so he's not, in this case, it's more complicated than the first case. The first case was just a piece of meat floating around, and you say, okay, go get that piece of meat and pull it out. But here it's a drop more complicated because it's solidified. So you have to do this whole trick to get it out. Okay, so now that case like this. Before we get to our real practical cases, let me talk about this case like this. Okay, crazy place he says about this din. He says about this second case that Dharma says, he says, you know, you only have to go so far in doing this whole trick to get the food out of it. He says this idea that you have to get the food, tzorach lahasir, you have to get the iser out of the food. He says that's along the lines of davishesh lamatirin. Why would you eat a behet with the iser mixed in if you get the iser out of it also? So it's along the lines of davishesh lamatirin. Davishesh lamatirin is only so far that you have to go for it. Like if you're going to lose money, if it's going to be too hard, too difficult, so you're not mechuyev to do it. So you're mechuyev to do a certain amount. But if it's going to ruin what you have, or someone's going to mess things up, then you're not mechuyev to go so far. Not a problem. You don't have to go that far, and you just have to. If you can, you should get it out. But if it's going to be a hope, like this case, just let it sit on the counter, and you know, you wait an hour, you'll be able to get it off. Fine, you have to do that. But if it's too much of a patch, you're not mechuyev to do it. Okay. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, and others, we're going to talk about Prim Gadol in a second, who brings this crazy place. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, he says, I don't understand. He says, if it's possible to get it out, then there's no taruvus altogether. He says, so, you know, you first open the book that says hilchos taruvus, but this is in the middle of hilchos taruvus, you didn't even have a taruvus. He says, because if you can get it out, then they're not in taruvus altogether. He says, what's the crazy place you're talking about? He says, it's not a taruvus. So you can't think about bits of b'shishim until we start with the taruvus. He says, this is not a taruvus. This is just nothing. The two pieces are separate. He says, imagine if you had pieces of food on the counter. So you'd say, yes, I have three pieces of food on the counter, Isser and Heter. I say, oh, it's about the barayv, you know, min b'min, it's about the barayv, it's ridiculous. It's not a taruvus, they're not mixed together, because you know, this is the Isser, this is the Heter. So over here also, he said, this is not a taruvus altogether, and since it's not a taruvus, therefore you're not mechuyev to, there's no dinner with bit b'shishim altogether, okay?
This is taruvus, until you do this, it's...
Right. Okay, so the in Bali Shulchan he explains this machlokes between these achronim. There's others on both sides, of course. That, like this, the shail is should you look at this as a taruvus? Should you look at this the according to crazy place? Be'etim it's a taruvus, but it's a taruvus that you could separate it afterwards. So it's only the rabbanon. And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not taruvus. So the rice of this is usher. Okay, what I'm saying is like this: if it's midoraisa and not a teruvis, then there's no limit to how much you have to do. You don't have to do only a little bit to separate it. Right. The Aruch
Hashanah says DNA testing to figure out what's
DNA testing. That's like maybe beyond what regular people can do. Maybe that's not a teruvis, because for regular people those are not possible to separate them.
That's right? Okay. So for a regular person, it's a tircha gedoy. It'll take them. I don't know. Hours and hours and hours of labor. You can do it, but it's going to take them 10-20 weeks to figure out if this.
Okay, so you're right. I don't know exactly what the line is. Okay, but
so now you're ready. Now you're negotiating.
So now we can. Okay.
It'll take you a month to figure out what's on. You have to put 5 hours a day, a month long.
There's awesome.
I don't think so. I think it's a terubus now. What? No, I don't write right now. I'm just saying svara.
Okay.
It's worth more than, way more than the thing is worth. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You don't have to eat the whole thing. How much is it worth already? How much is it worth? You know, the thing is worth it. So it's worth $10, $20. So you have to eat it. But it's hard as much, you need it, right?
Okay. So he learned.
Okay.
So anyhow, so he brings.
So no matter what tachbul you could do to figure out what the thing is, it's not a derubus. I didn't say it's not true. I don't think it's true.
Let's go on. So in Bada Shulchan, he understands that they hold that this shayla, whether this is teruvus or not teruvus, this that these Acharim are talking about it, is a shayla, is that a teruvus midaraisa? In which case, if it's a teruvus midaraisa, it's just a shayla with the rabban of a like a Dovah Sheshem Matirin kind of a thing, so you could have, there's limits, how much you have to do. Or you say, no, it's not even teruvus midaraisa. If it's not a teruvus, then there's nothing to talk about, then you're not allowed to eat it. Okay. Now let's move on to a prima godim. Okay, the Prima Gadim, I'm about to show you some words on Prima Gadim, a lot less words on this. Prima Gadim brings a crazy placey, and he seems to say like the Aruch HaShulchan, but he doesn't throw it out completely. Okay, but now look at this. This is what the Prima Gadim says. He says, Yesh Layim, I have a case. What happens if we have chalev, that you put chalev into gravy, chalev means treif animal fat, and it fell into gravy, and the gravy has in it kosher shuman, and it has kosher animal fat. Okay, so now what's going to happen is like this. Now, if you cool this mixture off and you let the fat come to the top, what's going to happen is the chalev is going to still be mixed with the shuman, because the shuman is also going to congeal. Okay, they're both going to come to the top. Okay, that's what's going to happen. So both the chalev and the shuman are both going to come to the top. So what's going on is like this. We're going to fill in some things that he's assuming, and that is, the chalev was batel b'shishim in this mixture, and the whole gravy, in the whole mixture that's in there, it was batel b'shishim. Okay, but when it's going to be mixed with the shuman, it's not going to be batel b'shishim. So what does he say? Im yitzdan yakol panim b'shuman heter roiv keneged chalev. There'll be more shuman. Again?
Why are you saying it's not batel b'shishim?
In the original food, it's batel b'shishim. In the shuman, it's not going to be batel b'shishim. It's just going to be batel b'roiv. Okay. Correct. So it's just batel b'roiv. So now he says, and then he ends off to tell you what he's talking about with these, I don't know, cryptic words, at least at first. Umin atayra b'minay b'roiv. Okay. So he says he's mesupet. What should be the din in this case? Okay. What should be the din in this case? Correct. So it will be, that's what he's talking about. But what's the shayla? What's his shayla, whether it should be mutter or usher in this case? Okay, it's like this. You could think that this shayla has to do with the crazy placey. I don't think that's correct. So I'm going to first tell you why that could be, but that would not be correct, which is like this. If you make the shuman and the chalev float to the top, you're not going to be allowed to eat that mixture that comes to the top, okay? Because midrabanan min b'minoy needs min b'minoy lach b'lach like this needs shishim. So midrabanan you're not going to be allowed to eat it. So you could think that the shaila here is like this: when you make it float to the top, it's going to be usher to eat it. So the crazy place, he said, you're not mechuyev to lose any of your heter in order to make this mutter. Dovah Sheshem Matirin, not mechayev you to lose some of your heter in order to do it. It's just mechuyev to get rid of the iser. So over here, you make it float to the top, you're going to not be allowed to eat the shuman. So according to Crazy Place, you wouldn't be mechuyv to do this because you're going to get the isser out. You're going to get the isser out, but you're going to lose some of your hefty when you do it. So you wouldn't be mechuyv to do that. Okay, but there's nothing in there that makes him think like that, and had no sense that he says a minute. Tarav mina roiv. A minute ago, he had talked about the Crazy Place. You think he would connect it more? Connect it. So I think Pshat was like this.
I mean, the place like when it's mutter.
The place you would say that it's mutter, yeah, but yeah. I think it's not totally in that. I don't think it's totally in that. Correct. It means like this. Okay. At first I thought was that tzad lahokel is like this. What's his tzad lahokel is like this? If you, the reason to be machmir, why did the Aruch HaShulchan say? I mean, he wasn't thinking about the Aruch HaShulchan. Those who argue, why would they think to disagree with the Crazy Place? Because they said midraisa is not a taruvis. So if the reason to be machmir is because midraisa is not a taruvis, well, over here, midraisa is going to be mutter anyhow. Because when it floats to the top, the chaylev is going to be bottled into the shuman. Midraisa, the chaylev is going to be the thing that floats to the top is going to be mutter also. So now it's along the lines of what the Crazy Place said. Not the Crazy Place said it's never teruvis. But I thought that maybe his tzad l'hokl here is that we're never going to, we have no shaylev of deraisa anyhow. It's only shaylev of drabonon. No matter what, there's not going to be shaylev of deraisa. Good. So then we could say. Right. So I'm not so convinced. I'm not sure. That was a thought. Okay. But then I had a tzad to say the reason to be mekel, to be machmer. Okay. To be machmer is like this. It's based on the Yad Yehuda. Okay. The Yad Yehuda also looks about
the script. What's the mekel?
So this is my only thought of why you should be mekel. I don't have another reason to be mekel. The reason to be mekel is to say what he says. So mid the raisa, the top stuff will be the stuff that floats the top will be mutter anyhow. So anyhow, we're just by a drabanan. So then we go along the lines of Crazy Place. If we're just for drabanan, you're not mechuyev to lose out on your food. Remember, right now it's mutter. Right now it's batel b'shishim and it's mutter to eat it. So you say what? Float it to the top, and then you're not going to be allowed to eat it. So you tell me, give up on my heter. On my shuman, give me up on the shuman, and to do that, that's my okay. And the tzad lahachmir, I thought, is from the Yad Yehuda. Okay, the Yad Yehuda is talking about this. The Yad Yehuda is talking about the Crazy Place. And he says like this. He says Crazy Place. He says you totally miss it. He says I don't even hear the question. The Yad Yehuda says. He says is if the piece. This is what David maybe was saying before. He says if there's chaylev in the mixture that can float to the top that you can get out. He says there's no taruvus. Not a shaila that there's no taruvus. That stuff is not the taruvus. He says, but in this case of the prima godim, he says there is a taruvus. The taruvus that you have is chaylev and shuman. Chaylev and gravy is not a taruvus because you can get it to float to the top. The only taruvus we have is chaylev and shuman. That is a taruvus. And that taruvus of chaylev and shuman that's in there is not the taruvus with the rest of the gravy. Those two things are the taruvus because they can't be separated. But in the gravy, that's not a taruvus. He says, so you mechuyev to get those things have to for sure come out. No shayla has to come out. And then when they come out, now it'll be usher because midrabanan and it won't be batel b'shishim. He says it's pasha to him. That there's no taruvus. The thing that can be separated out is not in dina taruvus. And I'm pretty sure that this raya I'm about to say is his raya. He brings raya like this. This Ramah that says, remember I read you the Ramah, that says, the beginning of the Ramah says, I'm sorry, the end of the Ramah said that if you have this chaylev, so you cool it down and it floats to the top, that Ramah comes from Hagoyis Mordechai. Okay? Hagoyis Mordechai is, I don't know what Hagoyis, but they're printed behind the Mordechai, in the back of your Gemara. Okay? So in the Hagoyis Mordechai, that's where the Ramah comes from this Hagoyis Mordechai, where it says, im nafal asoich chaylev, that if chaylev falls in, yishbach mayim tzoynum l'toychav, yasakol hashumun hatzofa hashar mutter. Okay, that's where the Ramah comes from. Okay, he says, so that's the case of the Ramah. So the I'm pretty sure this is his right. Yeah, this is he says, but guess what? This is the second case in Hagos Mordechai. Here's the first case in Hagos Mordechai. He says, if you had a kedera and you were cooking food in it, and food spilled on from the outside, okay, and something spilled from the outside, so he talks about before and after this piece of Ramah that's in the middle. Afterwards, what's the din if it fell on the outside of the pot? Does it make bleed into the pot? The din from tzadi basis. What does it make bleed into the pot or out of the pot? Okay, that's the case that he's talking about. But if you see, the case that he's talking
about. What's he doing there? Yeah, the outside. So why is it
important?
Because it doesn't go through.
That's right. But we're familiar with sin and tzaddik beis. Do bleas go through? Do they not go through? Right. That's the beginning and the end. Are talking about that thing. Does Tam go through the pot or doesn't go through the pot? Okay. Now, but the case that he gives when he gives when he talks about it, v'nishba chaleha chalav or chalav. Right. Here, there's no question. He means one is milk. One is milk, and one means treif animal fat. Right. Because chaf ches lamed beis. It's chalav and chalav. One of them's got a chalav, one's in chalav. So now, that means is what was inside the pot. So for the case of chalav falling into it, anything could have been in the pot. It would have made a treif. But the case of chalav means that was in the pot was obviously fleishings. Right? What would be the tzad to ask or something if something fell on the outside that was chalav and fell into I don't know, something also milchigs wouldn't be a shayla. So it fell into the inside of the pot was something fleishings. Okay? So now, the first case he talks about is what happens if there's fleishings in the pot and milchigs falls on the outside? What's the deal? And they says, now, avlin nafla soicha chalev or chalev, if the chalev falls into the pot, it's a continuation of the case. The case, first it fell on the outside into this pot that had meat inside of it. Now it fell into the inside, the fleshings fell into it. So Yad Yud says, he says, that means is this meat in the pot. If there's meat in the pot, that means there's fat in it. Meat always comes with fat on it. He says, so the case that the Ramah is talking about is mamish the case with this chalev and shuman in the pot. He says, the case that this prima donna is being misupik about is actually the case of the Ramah. That enough latecha chela, the chela fell into the pot, and in the pot we know there's animal fat in that pot already. Then the Ramah, the Hagoyes Mordechai, which is now our Ramah, says, you mechuyu to make it float to the top. And the shuman hatsof means the shuman, the kosher shuman, and the chela that you feel it's not the same words. The chela and the shuman are not the same thing. Those are the shuman that was already in the pot with your chela. So if you say, look at this, the case of the Ramah is talking about, you wouldn't know it if you just read the Ramah. But if you look where it's coming from, you see that it's talking about a case where there's actually a shuman into there, and you mechuyu to make it float to the top and get out the shuman. Because
the chela in the meat is. But it's more than the chalav that fell in.
No, so you're making it more usher. The mechuyu to make it float.
Then for sure it's usher.
Because it won't be. Okay, so you're that's true. You could say that. I guess you could say that. But he's seeing is that the case here is that the okay. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Okay, I don't. That's a question. This is raya that you. I'm pretty sure it says raya that you can't. The Ramah that we have, which is just the middle that middle part over there. Is sort of in the middle of a story. You know what I mean? It's the story was that there was actually fleshing. In other words, the prima donna seems to be understanding that the case almost chela fell into your pot. It was just cooked vegetable soup. There was no fat in there at all. It was just vegetables, chalas, whatever was in there. You know? Okay. So that's this, right? So the Ayyudi says there's no shali mechuv to do that. Okay. Now let's go to some practical cases. Okay. So the as David said before him, the whole tzad over here to think that you mechuyev to, in the case of the prima donna, to make it float to the top, was because when it floats to the top, it's going to be only batel b'roiv. Okay, it won't be mutter what floats to the top. What would be if there was when it would float to the top, it would even then be batel b'shishim. So then l'chayra at that point you would not be mechuyev to float it up. Okay, if it floats to the top, and even then it would be batel b'shishim, even in the fat on the top, l'chor you wouldn't be mechuyev to. I have another side of a way to learn it, not like that, more lamdish way of looking at it. Maybe you'd be mechuyev to, but let's just assume. I'll just assume for now that if it's batel b'shishim, then there's no tzad, and you're not mechuyev to make it float to the top. Okay, so this came up, this issue came up when you may remember some time ago. 10 years ago, or some time ago, that people found scale insects in orange juice. Okay, you remember? So scale insects in orange juice. It's very difficult to filter orange juice. But if after they figured out a way that you could filter orange juice, it's I don't want to use impossible. Essentially, impossible to filter out just the scale insects. There's all kinds of other pieces in there, and when you filter out the scale insects, which are so tiny, you have to also filter out other things in the oranges as well, okay? And we're not talking about whether the scale insects are mutter also. That's not relevant. Let's assume that the scale insects are also. When you filter out the scale, you have to filter out lots of other stuff with it also. So that means is that you have this bottle of oranges. The scale is, of course, about the b'shishim in the orange juice. Now, the shayla is, my mechuyev, are you mechuyev?
Is that a barrier over there?
Is it a shayla of a barrier? That was that, sure. History, yes. There is a shaila about that. So if you're saying if it's a barrier, then I'm going to get it out. It can never be bottom. Moscow, you're right. That's a good point. But this is one angle of the shaila. You're right. Moscow. There were those who argue that no pieces fall off. I mean, you can imagine how tiny, you know, this thing is, like, so amazingly tiny. And they were talking about whether pieces fall off. Okay. So I mean, really, this was, like, really, really tiny. Okay. I think punked at the CRC's policy is that we don't ask for scale. But I'm saying that was, but we're ignoring that. We're pretending that they're awesome. But you're right. If it's a barrier, if it's a barrier, then that's another part to the shaila. But so when you floated it out and you said, I filtered it out, then the scale would still be bought the Rishishim, even what you had left over. So what's the thing? Say, be mechuyev to float, ignoring the barrier part of it. I'm going to have to filter it out because I have to get the issue out of here. He says, no, when you get the issue out, the junk that you got out, all that stuff that you got out is also going to be mutter. So then that there wasn't a shaila, not mechuyev to do. Okay.
But it will still be bought the Rishishim?
Yes, because the scale is so amazingly tiny. Okay, if you ever saw the scale on
it, so that's not even the shaila. That's even better.
That's nothing. It's better than the shaila. That's my point. Now, if you ever saw a scale on oranges, if someone shows it to you, usually what you're seeing is not the scale. What you're seeing is not seeing the insect. The insect is really really tiny, and it gives off a wax to cover itself. And what you see on the orange is not the insect. You see the wax. That part is mutter. That's pirsha. That part is for sure mutter. The scale is underneath that thing. It's a tiny little piece that's underneath that. The scale, right. The insect is the part that the shilos are, not the wax. The wax is mutter. That's pirsha. But it's for the size of it, under that little thing that's like, this is bigger than the wax is, okay? The wax is even smaller than that. The piece that you see, it's like, that's the size of the wax. Okay, and under there, when the mother scale gives birth, she gives birth to a bunch, like 6-7 of them at a time, and they all fit underneath here at the same time. Okay? That's how tiny they are. Okay, they're all, the whole chevra is
on. If you isolated one live scale bug, would you be able to see it moving?
That was a big to-do, whether you can or cannot see it moving.
Was it alive? Really?
It only walks for a few minutes when it's alive. Really? And then it loses its legs. It moves to a new spot and it parks itself there.
So when it's alive. When it's alive, and it moves.
So that yes, so yes, you can see it move when it's alive. When it moves, in those few minutes when it moves, yeah, this is a little Shmur Shabbos about it. That's not for today. There's a Shmur Shabbos about that. They steer it to watch it. Okay, let's go. Shabbos? Yeah, from that day. They looked at it to watch it. That's a whole story. Okay, different day. We spoke about it. We're a million years ago. Okay, another example. Okay, is for Sfardim to eat, who want to eat rice on Pesach. Okay, so, of course, we don't eat rice because it's kidneys, and Sfardim do eat rice because they're allowed to eat kidneys. Well, since most of the hashkachas, in the big hashkachas in America, are all Ashkenazi style, so they don't give hashkach on rice. So the problem is, for the Sfardim, is that almost all rice in America is enriched. It has four things in it, B1, B3, folic acid, and iron. Okay, and I think it's the B1 and the B3 that are shilos that they might be made with chametz. They may be by fermentation, they might be chametz. Now the problem is, so if they made rice that was kosher Pesach, they have no problem. They'd make sure that the vitamins were kosher Pesach. And there is such a thing. There is some hashkachas that'll make things kosher for Sfardim, rice for Sfardim. And you can also buy rice without enrichment. There's such a thing. You can, if you make a effort, you can find rice without enrichment. Then you don't have the shaila about the thing. It's just the rice. Okay. But what happens if they can't get that kind, or there's particular? Some of the people are very particular. They need certain brands of rice, which comes enriched. Almost all the rice is enriched. Okay. That's what I'm about to talk about. I'm going to talk to you. That's what I'm about to talk about. So we're talking. We're talking about tarufas. I'm talking about that. So.
Don't tell me you're getting out.
What do you say?
Get B1 and B3 out of the rice.
I'm about to tell you. Give me a second. That's probably what I'm going to talk about today. So the shaila is this. How do they add vitamins to the rice? Okay. How do they add vitamins to the rice? So it turns out, we poked around help from Rabbi Price and other people to figure out how they add in like this. What they do is like this. First, they make the vitamins. Okay. They have the vitamins. It's all right. And then they mix them with some kind of a carrier like cornstarch or calcium carbonate. So not a shaila for us. I mean, it's kidneys, but it wouldn't be a shaila for us. Okay, they mix it like that. And then they take this powder. So the powder is mainly starch, some kind of a, not, no issue, with a little bit of vitamins into it. And they sprinkle it as a powder onto the rice. Okay, it doesn't stick. It doesn't have anything. They just take a big bin of 1,000 pounds of rice. They pour in this powder, mix it together. So when you get a bag of rice, there's little pieces, little powder is floating around in there. And it could be it sticks a little bit, but it's not meant to be sticking. It's not meant to attach itself to the rice. It's just the powder floating around. And the thinking is, as you eat your rice, a good amount of that powder ends up in your pot and ends up in your food. And then you get, and then when you eat the rice, you get some of those vitamins are coming along with it also. Okay, but it's not attached in any kind of way like that. Which means is that you could rinse off the rice and it would all go out. Wash away. There's nothing holding it on.
You see the powder? I haven't seen it. The rice just comes off powder.
So I don't remember ever looking at the bottom of those. You have to shake it around and try to get this powder off. And maybe it sticks on just because if you stop and put a powder in something, it might stick off. So it's a fine powder. You know, it might stick a certain amount, but it's not stuck like that. You can't wash it.
Looking at rice and seeing powder around the.
Well, it's not very much. Okay, it's not very much. But whatever. Now let's talk about the bit of it. The vitamins. That might be chametzik are not bottled in the mix. The original vitamin mix, they're not bottled. But if you think about the amount of that might be chametz in that whole, in the powder, with the whole thing together, it's going to be bottled b'shishim in that powder. And in the rice, it's like the number would have like 3,000 to 1 of rice to enrichment. Okay? So the rice is for sure bottled. If you look at it, it will be bottled b'shishim. What?
The vitamins.
The vitamins, the chametz part, and even the vitamins, are batel b'shishim in this whole, well, batel b'shishim. And of course, it's batel before Pesach. There's no chanan for two reasons. There's no chanan because there's no chanan of chametz before Pesach. And there's no chanan because we're talking about Svarim. Svarim not makbid for chetich nasas veil b'shari surim. Okay? But even for us, it wouldn't be because it's before
you
Pesach.
You want to be chanan
in the powder. Look at the whole powder.
Powder mix.
As we make that mix, or make it, should be chanan. But it's not in a ghetto. Okay? Not in a ghetto. Okay, so... So now, I'm telling you the amount of chametz that could be in that powder would batel b'shishim. So even if you said to me, so wash it off, it's efshel hasir, you can get rid of the issa that's there. But when you wash it off, the thing that you washed off is going to be mutter also. So you say, why am I mechuyev to take it off? It's batel b'shishim in the where it is now. It's going to be batel b'shishim when I take it off. So it wouldn't be mechuyev. Now you could argue. You could say is that nobody you own. You could say is nobody really could care less whether they have the vitamins or don't have the vitamins, so it doesn't bother anybody. Okay, you could say it doesn't even bother me. Here the crazy place is said don't do things you're going to lose your heter. So you're going to lose heter. You're going to lose your folic acid, but who cares? That doesn't bother me. But on the other hand, even when you wash it off, it's going to still be about the b'shishim. Even when you're finished, the whole thing you washed off is going to be about the b'shishim. So l'chayra, you shouldn't be mechuyev minatin to take it off. Of course, if you can get one kosher l'pesach, why not? And why shouldn't you do that? Okay, without enriched, so you live with a different brand for pesach. Okay. Okay, so now let me just mention a few cases that we're not going to talk about. Rabbi Shapta, when he once talked about this, Efshel Hasiroi, he said there's three types of Efshel Hasiroi. So, where the Isser is there, that's not considered Taruvis, or at least Mitzvah Rabbanan is not considered Taruvis. One is the case that we've been talking about, where it's possible to remove it. Okay.
Yeah, but this whole Rabbi Heinemann famously held a bit with bugs and lettuce, you know what I'm saying? There's an issue with Bittel there also.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what the others disagree. Basically, on this thing, with this, you say Efshel Hasiroi.
So I was going to not talk about it. I was going to mention it in passing. I'll tell you now. There's a Shalom Lachorin. What happens if you have something relates a little bit to that? What you said is partially connected to it. What happens if you have something where it's hopelessly lost? Okay, there's no way for a person to get it out. Okay, I can't possibly get it out. But if it's not just like a needle in a haystack, there's no way to get this thing out. No one will ever be able to find it. But if it was staring me in the face, I would see it. Okay?
Right. So according to him, interpreted the Arafah Shulchan, it's the right. So spend your whole life on it. That's it. So otherwise, don't eat it.
it's a big machlokes nacharnim. What to do in that case? A big machlokes nacharnim. Whether that's considered to be a taruvus or it's not considered taruvus. Okay? In other words, if I cross paths with that bug, if I cross paths with it, when it's staring me in the face, I would see it and I would know what it was. Okay, we talked about it in Hilchos Tehillim. It's a shaila. Pichad, I'll tell you some names if it makes you feel better. The Pichadish and the Chazan Shemachmir, and the Chavis Das, and the Ramah, and the Shach are Mekel. And the Chacham Son says you should be Machmir.
What's the case of the argument over?
I don't remember. I don't remember what the case is. For us, we can understand it. It's not just like, you know, it's a needle in a haystack. It's like, you know, it's impossible. You'll never find it. But when it was staring you in the face, think about it in the vegetables. In the shayla had to do with broccoli. So think about it in the broccoli. You could look and look and look and you won't find it. That was part of the shayla, was that they have ways that you can find it. That was part of the shayla against what he said. But let's say, assuming you can't find this mamash, it's impossible. There's no way to look through all those flights and you'll never find it. But if you actually were sitting right and looking at it, then it would just look like a bug. There's no question at that point what it is. Okay, anyhow, back to the Rabbi Shachter. So he's like this. So if the Ramah said the case, this is the strictest case, which is you have a way to do a trick to get it out. You cool it down and you make it float up, that kind of thing like that. He also said if you could see the Isser, then of course that's you mechuyev to get it out. He also said if you could feel the Isser, you also could, if you could touch it and you feel that there's Isser there, he thought that was also considered something you mechuyev to get off, to take it off. So I'm going to give you some cases that we're not really going to talk about. I'm just going to say them quickly. One is there's a shayla about foil pans. Mir Tashem will get to Sim Kuf Gimel. That's why I'm hoping to talk about that. That foil pans are coated, aluminum pans are coated, disposable pans are coated with a wax. And there's a possibility that that wax has trace ingredients in it. It is such a possibility. And you can't get it off, and you can't, there's no way to get it off, and you can't see it, but you can feel it. If you feel it, you feel the greasiness of on it, what's onto there. That's Mir Tashem will get to Kuf Gimel. That's, so that's a potential shayla here that you have to get it off. Don't go home and take off, throw out your pans. But
wait, give me.
What do you say?
I never saw anything on any aluminum pins. I never felt anything.
Yeah, you didn't see it, but if you feel, you would feel. Yes, it is a grease. And the reason, just for your understanding, the reason why there's a grease on it is because it starts with a flat sheet of aluminum and has to be stamped by a machine to make it into the shape. So the machine, they put grease onto it, and the machine doesn't rip the foil. So it helps it greases that it pushes the foil instead of ripping the foil. Anyhow,
you tell me if I go home and I go like this, I'm gonna feel something on my aluminum pins.
Yes.
Okay. How come I didn't notice it till now? It was so schwach, that it might not be till halachically doesn't exist. I never saw or felt anything of it.
Okay. Okay. So maybe it's so thin, maybe it doesn't bother. Okay. Well, you could say that. Okay. What happens if here's a shaila by the Shulchan brings a bunch of rice about this, back and forth about this. He says, what happens if we have not a taruvis with things that is mixed into one big mixture? But it's a taruvis of yavish b'yavish. There's a bunch of pieces on the table, and for whatever reason, it's considered taruvis, and it's mutter. The din is that it became mutter. He says, so I'm mechuyev to give it to a guy to taste it, because if the guy tastes it, he'll know which one is the isser. Okay, it's mimbish any meaning. They taste differently. He'll know which one is the isser. And then, so it's a way to get rid of the isser. If he tastes every one, he'll be able to pick out which one is the isser. So are you mechuyev to do that, to have someone tasting a guy tasting it, all the foods. Now, usually when that time, team is clear.
If you're going to be matter it, then the Jew's going to taste it.
Say it again?
If you're going to be matter it and say it's bottled, then the Jew's going to taste it. So if he takes a bite, then it's going to be all over, right?
Again, he'll be matter it.
So let's say, fine, let's say you're not going to do it. It's bottled. So right. The Jew eats it. So as soon as he starts eating it, he'll taste it.
Right. Come part on. That's part of the child. Yes, part of the child. Okay, another thing is, when you have stearates on a pill, okay, like magnesium stearate, lots of pills have them, and they're on the pill, the reason why they put into them is because scientifically, they say they that stuff migrates to the outside of the pill, and it helps in making the pills. In the pill machinery, it helps it glide through the machinery better. Okay? So assuming that the magnesium stearate is not kosher, that would be for a different shiloh, whether it is or is not a shiloh, whether it's mutter or not. So you might say, well, if it's on the outside, so then you say, maybe you mechuyev to get it off. There, that was an example where you can't see it or feel it or anything. Any person who touched it, you would never know that it's there. It's again, from the scientific perspective, it's migrating to the outside and helps in the machinery, but you can't see it or feel it or remove it or anything like that. So then, since it's in almost every case, it's bottle machine and the overall pill, you don't have to worry about that. Okay? Yeah. And last is... And
that doesn't sound partial to me.
Because?
It's on the outside. It's on the outside. It's not...
But it's on the outside that you can touch it or see it or feel. Here, a second ago, you told me about how your foil pan has nothing on the outside. And there, it really does. There, it really, mom, they squirted it onto the outside. And this is not even on the outside. It's mixed into the whole powder. It's all mixed together. When they make the mix of 1,000 pills, just when they squish it into a pill
shape. I was arguing, saying it's not there. There's nothing there. Right. That's something I was wondering. You're telling me that on the outside of the pill, there's Isser.
No, so it's not outside in the sense of me and you would see it. Like you said, you would never see it or feel it or anything like that. But in the science of it is that they're counting on it somehow coming towards the outside and therefore helping them making the pill. It doesn't help the pill machine if it's on the inside. It has to go towards the outside.
Exactly. Tell me what Metzius is. This is on the outside, and so it's not distributed throughout the thing. So
okay. My last case is there was a time that companies were taking fish, and this was interesting chachma they came up with. They wanted to sell fish to people. Like to people who have to be on specific diets. And that's where the government requires, like in a nursing home, they have to feed people a certain amount of protein every day. So giving them meat would give them the right amount of protein, but meat is more expensive than fish. but the fish doesn't have enough protein. So what are they going to do? So they came up with an idea. They took fish and they injected protein into the fish. So now this piece of fish, instead of having this many grams of protein, it had more grams of protein. So now the fish qualified as the high protein food, or the enough protein to give to the people, so they could sell. They
injected
could,
it after it's dead, just start. Just...
Yeah. No. After it was dead. The way they injected the protein was, they took fish. When you take a whole fish, a certain amount of it is edible and a certain amount is not. So they extracted protein from the not edible part of the fish and then injected it back, right back into their friends. Into the friends. Okay? So if the fish itself, let's say the fish was 10 pounds, okay, and 8 pounds of that fish is edible. The other 2 pounds, they got out of it protein out of those other 2 pounds, and then they injected that extra protein back into the 8 pounds. Okay? The point, and this way they made the 8 pounds have even more protein than it's supposed to have, and now it was so good that it could qualify for this kind of food. So you could give the people fish instead of giving them meat as a way of giving them the right amount of protein without having to spend the money on the meat. So now, of course, the shaila there is that you have to make sure they're putting the kosher protein. That was the issue. Are they putting in? And what happens? These pieces weren't on the hashgacha. They're not on the hashgacha. Could you buy the piece of fish knowing that there's protein that could be from a trade fish into here? You don't have to put from the same fish. They can put any fish they want to into there. Anyhow, so in that case, I don't know what happened in the end with it. But there, Rav Shachta said, he said, you can't see it. You can't see the protein. You can't feel protein. You can't get it out. There's nothing, you know, once it's squirted in, it's gone. It's in there. They don't squirt it in a big bubble, right? Little bits here and there. So he did not think that was, it was within range that could be bottle if the amount was taka bottle. Once we pass our shayla to the other, is it really bottle? But he did not think that was the case. That was mechuyev. You say mechuyev to get it out, and you have to get it because it wasn't. You couldn't touch it. You couldn't see it. You couldn't get it out. It was in tiny bits.
Why is that? That's pasha dalts yavish v'yavish. There's a spot somewhere on this fish that has a pocket that has a concentration of iser. Yeah, I have no idea where it is. So there's a million spots on the fish. There's bottle yavish v'yavish.
You're correct. It's bottle. It is bottle. Okay. The question was, but maybe you say if it's something that you could get out, you'd be mechuyev to get it out. So that's what he said. He said because you couldn't see it and you couldn't touch it. You couldn't get it out. There was nothing you could do about it. Taka was a taruvah. Right. I'm just giving you an example of a not taruvah, of a case where we didn't say you mechuyev lasir. It was a question. They said, are you mechuyev? Maybe you say, well, imagine if you squirted in a big bubble of it, then you could get it out. But like you said, it was in tiny bits here and there, and you couldn't find it anymore. It was hopeless. It was gone. Hopeless is the wrong word. Hopelessly was, I said before, where you'd see it when you banged into it. Here, you wouldn't see anything. It looked like a piece of fish. Nothing. You couldn't tell the difference between this from the rest of the fish.